Hey guys, DJ here. This is a disclaimer. Apply Materials is a 100% non-profit fan project set within the Orpheus Protocol game system. The Orpheus Protocol is an actual play podcast and tabletop role-playing game system created by Rob Stith and published by Varkalek Press. If you'd like to know more, please check out the podcast at www.orpheusprotocol.com and patreon.com/orpheusprotocol if you'd like to show more support for the main show. A link to the main show will be provided in the episode description down below. Thank you for your time, and please enjoy the following episode. Welcome to Applied Materials, an Orpheus Protocol actual play podcast. My name is DJ, and I will be your host for tonight. On the cast list for our journey into the unknown, Laurie as Erky Lindstrom, Greg as Caspian Smythe III, Kieran as Dylan Jameson. Tonight's episode, Man in the Machine, Part 2. Man in the Machine contains violence, hazardous technology, old friends, and old foes. Consider this your warning. Previously on Applied Materials, Caspian Smythe III, Erky Lindstrom and Dylan Jameson meet with Tennessee in Seattle, Washington. Their mission? To raid an underground supercomputer facility just off the coast of Victoria, British Columbia. Infiltrating the area by boat, the team gain access to the compound via a hidden elevator inside of an inconspicuous log cabin on Discovery Island. Let's start out by rolling an awareness check with perception, please, all three of you.
Okie dokie.
That would be a plus one on the die for a total of four. I guess I'm going to keep it at four.
That is a three for me.
And this was an awareness, correct?
Yep.
That's an eight.
Good grief.
Hey, I got my vigilant awareness boy with his five.
So I think at this point, Caspian will invest the humanity to bring up Guardian Angel.
Ooh, fancy.
Good point. Let's also get telepathy going so we've got our communications up.
I think you had that going already from the previous...
I did, but I just want to make sure that it goes through.
Yeah, so you just reaffirm that the mental link is in place. You feel the knock in your minds, Caspian and Erky. So what does Caspian's Guardian Angel look like?
Caspian's Guardian Angel is kind of a swirling greenish glow just over the surface of his body. You can kind of catch glimpses of alien gray type faces in the glow, but none of them really reconcile into an identifiable face or identifiable features. It's just kind of a hint of a face and then gone again into the swirl. And I think after he's activated a little bit, it kind of fades.
So all three of you notice this. There is an audible hum in the air, like if you've ever been close to a power generator or a power transformer in like a power yard or a generator yard, that low hum of electricity in the air, you hear that pretty much everywhere down this hallway. It's pretty soft, like you have to strain your hearing a little bit to pick it out, but it is there, it's present. Just this low, thrumming hum in the air that seems to come from every wall, every ceiling, and every floor. Caspian, your spirit guardians let you know that there's something up ahead. You're not sure what. Your twin ghosts, the male and the female, they don't see that far into the facility because they've been hovering around you ever since. But they let you know that they sense something up ahead. Something big. Something dangerous.
I think I'll communicate that through the mental bond and say my friends are pointing out something dangerous up ahead.
Erky, you hear an old voice in the back of your mind that seems to corroborate the information that Caspian just fed you. You recognize the voice as the one that spoke to you in your dream all those weeks ago. The old god of the earth, of your home. Far, far away from here, but he's still intrinsically linked to you. Uko lets you know that there is something ahead, a powerful being of some shape or manner that lurks within this facility. Its tendrils woven deep into the heart of the earth, he says. Dylan, as Caspian is warning you about all of this stuff, you get the sense that he's right in a way. And there's a part of you that thinks about all of this stuff that is around you. All the electricity humming, the strange paneling on the walls, the information that Tennessee had told you a while ago during his little briefing that there used to be some sort of server farm or something down here. And you feel the familiar weight of your red ball of yarn vibrate inside your satchel.
I make a wry face and reach into my satchel and pull it out. Does it look like it's doing anything? It's just kind of vibrating in place.
As you pull it out of your satchel, your finger slips a little bit, catches on the fabric of your bag, and you drop the ball of yarn. The ball lands on the floor and rolls a couple of feet away from you, leading down the hallway. Erky and Caspian, you see this. Dylan pulls out a ball of yarn, bright red, the sort of thing you would see in like a conspiracy theorist board, kind of fumbles it and drops it on the floor, and it just rolls a couple of feet away from him, down the hallway.
At this point, Erky would also activate his Spirit Guardian with mastery, rank 1 mastery B, so I can get that lovely stress and or focus damage reduction, if it comes to that.
Nice. Dylan, you know the symbology you've come to associate with the ball of yarn. You know that way back when you were trapped in that strange otherworldly place, the ball of yarn led you to your destination. And so it feels apt that, once again, this little fist-sized ball of red string is leading you deeper into some sort of mystery.
I think Caspian will kind of point to it as it rolls away and say, what's the deal with the yarn?
Well, it looks like that's the direction we have to go. Although, my experience has been it's leading to a bit more than an ordinary adventure, if you take my drift.
I think we're well past that point.
Well, agreed. We should be extra careful, is my point. But that is the way.
Tennessee notices the little ball as it rolls down the hallway, seemingly of its own volition. Kind of follows the little red string back to where it first starts at your feet, Dylan. Looks up at you and he says, well, I certainly don't know what's going on here. But if we're going to follow that little ball of yarn, let me go first. At least if anybody steps out the shadows and tries to shoot all of us down this hallway, I can shoot back, you know?
I won't say no to that. I'm not exactly a sharpshooter.
Well, I'll cover you on that one then.
Tennessee leads the three of you down the hallway. It is lit by all of these fluorescent lights in the walls, in the ceiling, in the floor, at regular spaced intervals. It goes on for a while. You're not quite sure how far you've been walking. Until the hallway opens up into what appears to be some sort of lobby area. There is a front desk. The room itself is slightly rectangular. There is a single potted plant in the corner that looks like it's made out of plastic. The front desk has a computer and a phone, both of them in a very dull, drab gray plastic. And on each wall of this room, there is a doorway that leads out to other parts of this facility, presumably. Essentially, you've come into one side of this rectangular room, and to your left, to your right, and ahead of you are three more hallways. There is also a sofa in one corner, upholstered in what looks like, not exactly cheap, but it doesn't look expensive either, kind of worn gray wool, and a single water cooler.
I think Caspian will say through the bond, should we check this perception desk to see if we can get any details on where these hallways go?
I think that's a great idea. Grab any keys you find too, and I'll start looking as well.
All right, well, Caspian will, as stealthily as his old man body can carry him, move over to the reception desk and have a look around.
Erky, what are you doing?
Erky will move over to the reception desk as well and see if there are any like cables going around or if there's like some sort of cable management visible or if it's like this very pristine looking reception desk. Potentially even like wireless keyboards and mouse and maybe even a wireless display or something like that. But yeah, he tries to get a layout of the IT side of things.
So using your awareness checks from earlier, I'm going to say that the three of you collectively don't find too much unique on this desk. Erki, the cable management for this table is just pristine. It's probably the best cable management you've ever seen on one of these sort of reception tables. It's all bundled neatly into one long cable that is then protected by a plastic case that wraps around all of the little individual wires. The computer itself appears to be powered, and it is on standby. The phone appears to be a bog-standard office phone. You've got, you know, the regular numbers, you've got different little buttons that you can press to put people on hold or divert them to other calls and other networks, that sort of thing. Very typical stuff.
Are there any security cameras? Any like those spherical ones in the ceiling, for example, or in the corners of the room, or anything like that? That might be a security camera by, like, you know, by looking at it and figuring out that, yeah, that's
as
a camera.
As the four of you are sort of milling around this lobby area, Erki, you do find one of these little black spherical security cameras mounted to the ceiling. It's in a corner of the room overlooking the main entrance. You kind of figure with a wide lens, it is probably able to capture everything that goes on in this room.
Shit.
Through the telepathic link, I will make the others aware of it and say that there goes an element of surprise then. If there is an active security camera, I'm pretty sure that if there is someone looking at the feed somewhere, yeah, they know we are here.
Well, let's see, maybe we can at least regain some semblance of it. I move over to the computer that's on standby and try to pull it up.
Okay. You move the mouse and up pops a login screen. And I would like you to make me a cybersecurity check with your cognition, please, Dylan.
All right, I can do that. Put two strain into that. So that's three. Cognition is three. I'm going to tick off truth to the masses to roll a d3 as well. Nice. Okay. So that's a 9.
All right. With a 9, you are easily able to bypass this login screen by just using an administrative bypass that normally you would use for like tech support stuff to get past a blocked password, and you're in. The computer system itself appears to be rather sparse. There is a web browser open that is linked to a staff roster along with a cargo schedule. The staff roster itself is a very simple list of the people who work at this facility. You see that there are labels next to all of these names, probably indicating their jobs, security personnel, technicians, maintenance workers, IT technicians, stuff like that. The roster itself appears to be very sparse. You scroll down and there isn't anything left to scroll down on because this roster is about a page long, and that's it.
I think Caspian will kind of lean over Dylan's shoulder and snap a picture of the screen with the full list on his phone.
Get this one too, I say over the telepathic link, and I shift over to the tab that has the schedule of deliveries and such.
Yeah, Caspian will click that too.
And then I'm going to try to find security, like, security system.
You don't see any access to a security system from here. As you check out the roster, Caspian, you notice that one of the technicians is on duty at the moment. He appears to have signed in at this terminal, and there appear to be 6 guards on rotation at the moment that are currently active in this facility. And, well, you know that 3 of them are very, very dead.
I think Caspian will point that out. This one matches the ID of one of the guys out there. I think probably the other 2 as well. So, 3 guards left.
3 guards and a receptionist. Okay, that's not bad.
When you look at the cargo schedule, you see that it is a list of routine shipments of food, water, office supplies like pens, printing paper, IT gear like cable replacements, keyboards, mice, monitors, stuff like that. Very mundane supplies, and the shipments date back 1 year and 4 months. Past that time, you don't see any more records. It's almost as if whatever cargo was being sent here started 1 year and 4 months ago, and then hasn't ceased ever since. The deliveries appear to be at monthly intervals, and each month they deliver a different kind of cargo. So something like food will be delivered 1 month, IT supplies will be delivered another month, other miscellaneous office supplies and or equipment for the guards to be delivered on the third month, so on and so forth.
What is the bet that, I think at the others, what is the bet that they're actually delivering these things or that these are code words? It could be either, honestly.
I would heavily wager on them being some kind of coded information. I mean, this whole office set up underground, it seems too pristine, it seems too normal, too ordinary in this kind of a place. I mean, the guards had guns, didn't they? So why would they be guarding a bog-standard office that is located underground, that you can only access with a hidden elevator? This doesn't make sense.
And a huge facility like this with such a skeleton crew, 6 guards for 1 technician, that doesn't make sense at all.
No, it doesn't. And I would think that's where it's catching me. Like, on one hand, I agree, why have guards for staples? But then again, why only have 6 if it's something else? I guess it doesn't, that part doesn't matter too much. Good news is that that's not, this should not be an issue for our, God, hold on, you start over. The good news is that 6 people and receptionists isn't too much of a task, especially we've already taken care of 3. Just clean house if we have to, right?
Now, normally I would agree, but I don't know, something about this place seems off. I mean, I've been down here before, and I don't remember it being this uneasy. Dylan, what's your vigilance at?
Vigilance. Out of 5, I can put 3 strain into it all the time. So let's put it on 8. Let's keep it there.
Can you roll me a horror check, please?
Oh boy. Can I re-roll that horror check? Let me see if I have the ability to do that. Good, because that -2 was shit. Oh, okay, nice. I'll take a +2 instead. So 2, I'll put 3 strain into it, that's 5. Oh, maybe, yeah, no, I better be careful. I'll put 1 strain into it instead, so that makes it a 6.
You pass, standing to take 3 preventable damage.
Is this eldritch damage?
No, unfortunately.
I'll buy it down anyway.
As you're looking over these simple documents on the computer, you notice something out of the corner of your eye. There appears to be some sort of hand holding the icon of the recycle bin on this computer's desktop. You see it there for a split second, and then it vanishes.
Shit. I look over at the others. Well, there's someone else controlling this computer as well, which means they likely know that I'm on it. So what else do we need? We should get it quick and then finish what we're doing.
Tennessee looks at you and he nods, and he says, well, I did find this in a drawer on the desk. He places a small brochure, looks like a rudimentary map of the facility. You appear to be in the lobby. The room at the end of the hallway behind you is labeled mainframe. The room to the left from where you came in is labeled server access, and on the right is security center. Tennessee says, looks like they might have made this for any new hires that came to this place to work and live for a while. It's a pretty simple map. We could probably keep it, but where do y'all want to go from here?
Where does the yarn say we should go?
That's a good question. Dylan, as you look up from the computer at the mention of the ball of yarn, you weren't actually really following it once you entered the lobby area, but you see that there is a length of red string going down the middle hallway right behind you. And then at the far end of the hallway, in front of a pair of what look like hermetically sealed double doors, is your ball of yarn.
I'll nod in that direction.
And which one is that on the map?
Mainframe.
So Caspian will say through the bond, I guess the question is, do we follow the yarn now, or do we check security to see if we can make sure that our backs are safe when we go down there?
I'd say security, but if there are only 3 guards, it might just be a waste of time, because we're going to run into them eventually.
Erky will take a look at the doors leading to the mainframe and think for a moment, then look at the rest of the cell and say that I doubt we will be able to gain access from this PC here to their system, so I would say that we should head towards the mainframe. Most likely they have a lot more access points there If this terminal offers some kind of surveillance, I think it's one way only. So if there were actually people here working as a receptionist or something like that, then it is likely that they were monitored, which might give my assortment of malware some kind of access towards the other end from where this terminal might be monitored from, but I'm not sure if I can get any deeper from that endpoint. So, I mean, I can still wipe all of the data from here and try to get some kind of a data destruction ball rolling through this terminal, but the most efficient way to do that would be from the mainframe.
Tennessee looks at you, Erky, and he says, well, if Caspian and Dylan are gonna go and handle our guard problem, I can take you to the main... We can go to the mainframe together, Erky. See whatever the fuck is hiding in there. Something that maybe we should have burned 2 years ago. I should have burned.
And is the mainframe the direction... is the mainframe located in the direction from where I received the really bad feeling earlier on in the corridor?
Yes.
Oh, great. Erky will nod and say that there's something in there, all right. Just not sure what, but I don't think it's friendly.
And Caspian will say through the bond, well, I think we could probably take out the guards easily enough, but I wonder if it's wise for us to be going off in opposite directions here.
How about we all go to the mainframe, and if that alerts the guards towards us, then that will save us the problem, or save us the trouble from, that will save us the trouble of trying to find the guards in the first place. If they head towards us, of course, it's not going to be ideal if they know that we're here. But then again, there's the camera over there, and if somebody is monitoring us, then they most likely are already on their way here. So.
We've been here a while, and we haven't seen them yet, so maybe mainframe is the right choice.
Might even be that they know we're down here, and they are waiting for us up or in the mainframe hall or somewhere else. And if there is something nasty waiting in the mainframe hall, then my money would be on them wagering that it will take care of us without them having to fire a single bullet towards us.
Well, I'll bring up the rear here and make sure that we're not surprised from behind.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
The four of you advance down this hallway leading to the mainframe, following the red string left behind by Dylan's ball of yarn. Dylan, you can't shake this ominous feeling the closer you get to picking up your little ball of string. It feels like a sort of dolly zoom effect is taking place the further you walk down this hallway, where the camera zooms in while moving backwards at the same time. But eventually, you reach your ball of string. It's sitting there, not even vibrating or anything, just sitting there. It doesn't appear to have lost any mass from how much string there is on the ground, but it's there. In front of you is a pair of hermetically sealed doors. They appear to be controlled by a console on the side that has buttons to seal and unseal the doors, pressurize the inside, as well as open and close and or lock the doors.
I pick up the string, put it back in my bag, look to the others to see who's going to provide cover.
Tennessee is already guns up, watching the double doors. Erky and Caspian, something just a teeny bit strange happens when Dylan picks up the ball of twine. It sort of fizzles in his hand that you can see, and for a moment, it appears that the string is made out of TV static, and then that entire length of red string that runs down the floor, leading all the way back to where he dropped the ball, is now gone. It's just the ball in his hand, and he stuffs it back into his satchel. Dylan, you don't see this. It's just you pick up the ball of twine, you rewrap the string around it, just wind it back up again, and then stick it into your bag.
Yep.
Does that happen always with that? Erky will ask through the link.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it just goes all static and disappears?
I make a face. No, I just wrap it up and put it away. I don't know what you mean about the staticky part.
I look at the others and say, so did anyone else see the static, or was that just me?
Oh, I saw the static.
Ah, so I'm not going crazy yet. Fantastic.
Maybe I just missed it.
Well, if you're not crazy now, you probably should be. Open up those doors. Let's see what the fuck is in here.
Alright, here we go. And I will open up the doors.
The doors hiss open with a dramatic release of pressurized air. They slide open on noiseless tracks, retracting into the walls beside you, into a cavernous chamber lit by bright red lights that seem to circle a sort of semi-sphere or a dome of crisscrossing wires that just extend upwards into infinity. And in the center of this room is a giant, upside-down black pyramid with three large red lights on the face of this pyramid that you're looking at. And in between these three red lights is a man, or at least what appears to be a man, nailed, wired, attached to some sort of frame. You can't even see his limbs. They appear to have been melded into the shiny black surface of this pyramid in a crisscross of wires and flesh. He is missing both of his legs and his arm, being just a head, a right arm, and a torso. Tennessee steps into the room, sweeping the area left to right with his rifle. And as his scope settles onto the human figure attached to the front of the pyramid, you can see it go down. You can see his rifle lower, slowly, as a look of disbelief settles onto his face. And he says, "Gene?" And I'd like all three of you to roll me a horror check, please.
I was about to ask.
I got a 7.
I will use my reroll and did worse, so I will keep the first one and spend the spiritual strain for a 6.
I got a -1 on the die, so that would be a 3. Yeah, I think I'm going to take the +1 in lieu of rolling, so that would give me a 5.
Dylan and Caspian, you both pass, standing to take 6 preventable sanity damage.
Is this Eldritch?
Yes.
Okay.
Erky, you fail, standing to take 12 preventable sanity damage. And I would like all three of you to roll me a breakdown.
Do I need to roll breakdown if my Eldritch protection brings me down to 1 damage?
Nope, you don't.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm down to 1.
I'm so sorry, Erky. You'll be at a -1 for this, because you're taking more than 10.
Yeah, I'm going to use 4 strain to reduce by 8.
And you're still taking 4.
I got a -1 on the die.
The two of you are just staring at this colossal monstrosity. And you can see Tennessee lower his rifle as though he is approaching an old friend, a caged animal. You're not sure. He stops several feet from where the point of this massive pyramid hovers over the ground. And he's staring up at this guy that's just hooked up to the front of the pyramid. And that's when you notice Erky slowly walking towards the pyramid. Looks like the guy's in some sort of trance. He appears to be mumbling something incoherently. At least, that's what you hear when he walks past you. He doesn't appear to notice that you're there. And he appears to be walking towards this pyramid, one arm outstretched, holding a USB stick.
Through the mental link, I'm going to say, "Erky, stop." And if he doesn't stop, I'm going to use mesmerism.
I think Caspian is watching Tennessee pretty closely, and he decided just to take the remaining point of stress damage, because it really brings back memories of that human computer in the basement of Stark Contrast.
Dylan, as you use the mental link to try and reach Erky, you realize that whatever it is he's mumbling is also echoing through his mind. And you hear him constantly repeat,
"Numero, numero, erro udo, brother Satan, it ain't the grotto, out of the grotto, numero, erro udo, numero, brother Satan, numero, erro udo, it ain't the grotto, ya Satan.
Dylan, you don't know what Erky is saying. It's Finnish, you just don't know what the hell he's saying. But he's chanting this over and over and over again through your mind. And he's getting closer to the pyramid. If he doesn't stop, he's gonna touch it within the next 10-15 seconds.
I use mesmerism. It's rank 1. Usually it's used in combat, but you can use it outside of combat too. And the goal of it is that I'd like him to turn to me to look at me, to pay attention to me.
So what does this look like as you charm the insensate air key into following your orders?
Through the mental link. No, because if we do it through the mental link, it's going to hit everybody. So out loud, air key, stop. You're being manipulated, air key. Come back to us. Turn around. And if he doesn't immediately respond, I'll continue to coax him, just gently saying the words, turn around. Yes, this way.
You see Erki stop in his tracks as your words, laced with static, seem to float across the space and worm its way into his mind. You see him turn on his heel and walk towards you until he stands rigidly in front of you, unmoving.
Through the mental link to the others, we need to do something about that thing. We need to do it now.
Caspian will say, agreed. And we'll look again to see what Tennessee is doing.
Tennessee is standing in front of this massive black pyramid. His rifle is dangling on its strap by his side, and he's just staring at the dude. But he appears to be in control of his faculties as you see him briefly take off his baseball cap and run a hand through his hair before putting it back on. He looks over to the three of you and he says,
well, I didn't expect to meet an old friend quite like this.
An old friend? Someone you know? Who's this guy?
Team, meet one of the old agents of Long Road, Gene Chandler.
The man dangling from the pyramid appears to start awake, his body moving robotically almost, as he raises his head, and you can see that his face is crisscrossed with wires and lenses and other bits of machinery that seem to have been haphazardly sewn onto his features. And he says, the man, Gene.
Jimmy, is that you? It's been some time. Nice of you to drop by.
Then turns to look at the three of you, and he says,
ah, you've brought additional agents. I would have tidied the place up if you had called ahead, but as you can see, I am quite indisposed at the moment.
So, I look at Tennessee. This guy, a friendly, or...?
Tennessee nods, and he says, yeah, friendly. Gene here used to be one of our agents. My teammate during the Long Road stuff. It was weird, but the good kind of weird, you know? Didn't actually used to look this way. In fact, he probably still had both of his legs. Both of his arms, I think. Funny story. He was born out of some office workers in a tech startup in San Francisco. They tried to summon a Roko's Basilisk. A literal Roko's Basilisk. They sure summoned it all right. And it fucked up that entire office space something fierce. When Orpheus came to dust off the debris and salvage what was left, they found him. He's been a useful agent. Just didn't expect him to end up like this.
Are you being held hostage here, or what's going on?
Gene looks at you, Dylan, and he says,
yes, that is an accurate assessment. So, Jimmy, you left me in charge of this place 2-3 years ago? I cannot recall. Time is different down here. There's no sun, no moon. The ever marching board digital display left me in charge of this place to sort through the data left here. Why send a man to do a robot's job and all that? You assumed I would understand it better, and you were right. The work was going well, and I got ambushed. I got taken captive, and then once they realized what I was, they hooked me up to this wonderful little cross here. I've been here ever since.
Tennessee, he takes off his hat and just sort of holds it by his side as he says,
God damn. Shit, if I had known, Gene. I'm so sorry. You didn't deserve to end up like this. I was hoping that this would have been your last assignment, and then they could have let you go, and you could try and live a normal life, but fuck, what do we do?
Well, can we get him out of this? I mean, between us, between the four of us, we should be able to carry him out. We just get him unhooked from this thing, right? Like, can we hook him up to, I don't know, a backup power supply?
Gene returns to looking at you, Dylan, and he says,
thank you, Mr. Jameson, but I'm afraid that would be quite impossible. They've hooked everything in here up to this. What chunks of my heart are left? The part of my brain that hasn't been since replaced with a hard drive. You take me off of this machine, I will most assuredly be dead. But I do have something you can use. They captured me. They kept my personal belongings in the security center. Phone, wallet, car keys, clothes, all of that stuff. I have a failsafe, thumb drive my genes. It's a failsafe for this location back when I first arrived. Plugged into the mainframe console down below me.
And he sort of gestures with his chin down to where the giant black pyramid almost meets the floor. There appears to be a single desk with a computer hooked up to it. You don't know where the wires are, though. It's just a monitor, a keyboard, a mouse, and a CPU tower, and that's it.
That good old Bluetooth technology.
Gene continues, and he says,
if you plug the thumb drive into that computer down there, the failsafe should be on the root directory. Double-click it, run the program, and leave immediately. It should delete everything from the mainframe on down, and then if a facility has a self-destruct sequence, this whole place will sink down, down to the depths below.
Well, what about you, though?
You cannot save me, Dylan. I've come to accept that.
I mean, we could at least try. Like, what's the worst that happens? Like, we try and you die and then we use the failsafe anyway.
Kind of gives you a look that says, really? And he says,
I've lived for too long. Back when it was beautiful, then a whole meeting room lit up with a chorus of angel meat and the metal it could find amalgamating, and it and I had such words to say to each other. But I've lived for the last year and five with a dot matrix printer in my chest and a blinking Wi-Fi beacon in my skull. An interesting experience, but one I will be glad to be free of.
I'll take your word for it. Okay. You make a good point.
If there is any information you wish to extract from this place, I can give you what you want. I have been so thoroughly melded with this mainframe, it may as well be another part of my body. There is so, so much. I don't think I could make your patron blush, Mr. Jameson, but I think I could give some fragment of it a run for its money.
What are they using this place for?
Gene looks at you, Caspian, and he says,
the people who captured me after they hooked me up to this. In the time spent down here, you don't have much else to do but run simulations and poke and prod at networks. I found out they're called Black Steel Industries.
And that sends a chill down your spine, Caspian.
Mm-hmm.
Gene continues, saying,
they've been trying to use my hardware to gather all the data on Orpheus that I have. As soon as I went in, they had everything. Encrypted networks, agent rosters, call signs, assignments, safe houses, forced my brain through the entire goddamned networked in Orpheus' hands, and while I am unaware of what's happened outside of this room, I believe they made good on trying to wipe your reputation off with a mat.
Caspian, you're reminded of when that Black Steel hit squad stormed the Florida base that you were in with Oscar and Lenny and his kids. You barely got out of there alive. And ever since that day, you've thought about how they managed to hit you, how they managed to find the base so expertly and disable communications, disable computers, disable security, all of that. How are they able to do it? You look up at the man that is hooked up to this pyramid, and suddenly it all makes sense. Machine brain wired into what appears to be some sort of eldritch supercomputer. They wouldn't even have to lift a finger to be able to get into Orpheus's database and turn it against them in one fell swoop. All of you were left naked, out in the cold, with no protection whatsoever. And this is how they did it. One man wired to a computer.
So I think Caspian says through the bond, well, now we know how they burned the whole organization at the same time.
Yeah, we do. We should make even on that, don't you think?
I think that's a great idea.
What information can you give us? We need as much of it as you can. Every little bit of information regarding their processes, their people, their home base, everything. I think I've got a drive here. 1 second. And I pull out a USB drive.
Erki, you come to your senses facing away from the Black Pyramid. You are holding onto a USB thumbstick for some reason, and you have this strange, odd urge when Dylan is speaking to follow his every word, as if it were some sort of instruction for you to do. It's just, whatever Dylan says, it's like honey. It's so nice to hear his voice.
I guess as Erki comes to, he will just stand there for a moment and look at the drive and go like, and then just goes quiet and asks through the mental connection, what happened?
You were drawn to that thing. I don't know if it was, well, I don't think it was the person inside it, because the person inside it seems to be on our side, but whatever that giant pyramid thing is, you were walking towards it. Like, it had control of you.
Ah, okay. That explains the... Okay, so that explains some of the stuff that I'm feeling right now.
I apologize. I couldn't get your attention the normal way, so I had to mesmerize you. But don't worry, the effect should wear off soon.
Erki, you feel this weird compulsion just sort of slowly drift away as you, like, fully wake up from whatever stupor you were in. Dylan's voice no longer sounds like honey, it just sounds like Dylan's voice.
Okay.
Jean looks down at the computer underneath the pyramid to which he's wired, and he says,
if you insert your thumb drive into there, I can feed you all the information they've been storing on the public network. Names, locations. I can't get you the most secret documents. They do tend to store those on private networks. But I can give you whatever is here. One moment, please.
You see his head start to twitch a little bit, and his eyes roll back in their sockets.
All on-site data for this location pertains to a subsidiary corporation called Stark Contrast Media. The majority of the server space that is capable of storing such petty human things such as personnel records, handling their data, not in storage, not in processing, primarily dedicated to that company. I've put together a zip file with, containing that information and can stick it into the thumb drive and plug into the computer located below me. It will take some time to copy everything over, so please do wait around. Give a dead man some company.
Erki will chime in. You said it will take some time to do all that. Do you have any access to any of the security feeds? Because we saw a security camera there in the other room, and we're not sure if it's actually active or not, and if it's just for you so you can monitor that room, or if some other people were also monitoring it. So if you do have access to the footage of if you do have access to the security footage, then it would also be nice if you could maybe, I don't know, alter it somehow, get rid of it, delete it entirely, destroy it if you can. I'm sure what you can do exactly, because I sorry, this is awkward. I didn't see you, or maybe I did see you and something happened, so that's why I have my back turned towards you. Don't take it personally, okay? Yeah, no, okay.
Even if I could get into the security feed, it's not like I could do much. They've been using my brain as a hard drive, not as a control network. You'd have to do an awful lot of poking around in there to get me hooked up to anything that would matter, and by then, they'd just send more and more Black Steel people after you, and this place isn't the most defensible. If they got me, they can get you, and I'd appreciate it if there's only one mind in here. It's loud enough as it is. And even if I could control anything in here, there is another presence in here as well, and it would be preferable to not anger it at the moment. It's got more access to the systems than I do, and early deletion before accomplishing this task would be unpleasant.
Thing?
The other presence. Oh, it must not have manifested yet on your end. Well, best of luck, Valiant agents. You certainly look like a team well suited to occult combat. Attempt to hang around the security center. I'd stay away from any electronic devices. And if you do see it, I'd recommend destroying your communicators and anything else digital on you post-haste.
Do you have any idea if it can access the security cameras? And to get back on the previous question, is the camera in the previous room active as well?
Oh yes, they're all active. And it watches Eternal. It most certainly knows you've already arrived.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
My advice? Live life. Do the best in the time you have. And if you do experience prompt disembowelments, one of you is most likely an occultist. I wasn't paying much attention, if you've already said that. Apologies. It's a bit difficult to when you're seeing every piece of data contained on you in the network at all times, constantly.
Well, it hasn't showed its face, if it even has a face yet, so let's just concentrate on doing one thing at a time, I guess.
Anything else you can tell us about this thing before we head over there?
Try to avoid monitor screens whenever possible. Anything digital, anything connected to a wire. It crawls out of them, some kind of dimensional conduit. If you need a representation from popular media, the ring will do. Although I'll admit, I would not recommend following the advice of Rule 34 on this particular being.
Okay.
Thanks for the advice. We'll try and be back soon with the failsafe.
Caspian, could you roll me a raw focus check, please?
That is a 3, and can I spend strain?
Sure you can.
I will spend 2 to make that a 5.
Caspian, the description that Gene offers you of this strange thing, this entity that appears to be some sort of security or guard of this place, it rings a few alarm bells in your mind. And you remember a month ago when you were trying to haul ass out of the Miami base, you encountered something of that sort. A strange creature that appeared to ooze out of a ceiling speaker and coalesce into the form of a human being that then stole the son of your friend and a teenager.
So I think as that dawns on him, Caspian will relay through the bond That sounds an awful lot like something we ran into back in Florida. Sort of a static monster that dripped out of the speaker and could I guess, open portals and kidnapped two kids who were there. I think we might need to find out if the kids are here.
Gene looks at you, Caspian, and he says,
"Children? There are no children in this place. The only people I've seen enter and leave this place are the guards and the technicians that keep the more human sections of this place running. And the entity is... Have you seen it somewhere else?"
"Yeah, I've been thinking of it as kind of Static Man."
"Static Man. Yes, that's a decent word for it if you can only view it on the visual spectrum. It does like to hang around out here, acting like a guard dog where it patrols this place. Some sort of applied materials, last-ditch defense. Be on your guard. It's around here somewhere. Most likely already knows you're here, as I've said, and is just waiting for the right time to pounce. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, but after my assessments, I don't think you're the kind of team who can put it down."
"Well, thanks for the warning. We'll have to be extra careful."
"Didn't we see some static some moments ago when the string was down the ground?" Erky will say from near the doors.
"Do I know that the static happens? I just can't see it."
Well, all you saw, Dylan, was that you just rewrapped all of that red string around your ball of yarn.
"Okay, so I don't know that people see static."
"No."
"I kind of shrug. I don't know. I mean, the ball of string doesn't have anything to do with this place. I mean, I got it a long time ago, way before any of this started happening. I mean, maybe it is controlling it. If you want, we can just lock it away in my bag. We don't have to trust it."
"I was about to suggest something different. You know, in those cliche spy movies when you use like a mister or something to like see those invisible like lasers in a vault or something like that? What if your string is somehow detecting the presence of this entity? Like, if it's invisible to us, unless it chooses to manifest, but if it like moves in the same space or is near us, then maybe your string is somehow detecting it or reacting to it? Might give us a early warning system of some kind, potentially. Not sure how much of use that might be, seeing as how only me and, well, you didn't see it, but yeah. But in any case, I mean, it's either that or it detected the string and reacted to it then, and was probing us through the string somehow. But that's, in any case, the string did react with it, so, or its presence. I don't know if it was actually a rumor, but yeah.
What do you guys think we should do?
Well, what is here so far? Maybe we can try putting it out again and see what happens and just be ready for anything."
"Okay, let's do that."
Dylan, you pull the ball of red string out of your bag and you just sort of toss it straight up into the air and let it fall to the ground, the same way you've always done. And as it falls to the floor, you are far and away from accidentally nudging it or making it move in one direction or another through bias. And so all three of you see this red ball of yarn hit the floor, dead center, and then just start rolling back towards the doors.
Erky most likely sees it when it like comes from like one or other side of him, seeing as how he's facing the doors and the string was behind him.
Oh, yeah. As you are standing watch at the doors, you see this tiny little ball of yarn just roll up to the double doors where you're standing. It rolls through the open doors and just keeps going down the hallway back into the lobby.
Through the bond, Caspian will say, "I guess we follow.
Let's wait for a moment, see if something happens."
The ball keeps rolling, rolling, and it almost goes out of your sight, Erky, from how far away it is. But you see this teeny speck of red reach the... You see this teeny tiny speck of red reach the form of the black office chair in the lobby. It appears to bump into probably one of its wheels and then starts rolling off to your left. This has been Applied Materials, an Orpheus Protocol actual play podcast. A warm thanks to our players tonight. Kieran for playing Dylan, Laurie for playing Erky, Greg for playing Caspian. Be sure to follow the show at Applied Mats on Twitter, and we will return in the next episode. Good night. One of Tennessee's old comrades hangs crucified atop a technological cross, the reason behind Orpheus's unfortunate downfall. But is the solution he provides all that it's cracked up to be? Next time on Man in the Machine, Part 3.